even on this tour that we're doing, I'm going to buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter because I'm not going to want to spend the money on food. Because the whole idea is that my livelihood. This is how I make my money. If I come home with no money, how am I supposed to pay rent?
Welcome back to Successfully Unsigned, where we give professional music advice for unprofessionals. Today, we have a returning guest for you, one of our favorites from the show that we haven't seen since last year. Quentin Kufall of Idol and drummer for Hallison has come back on the show to talk with Patty G and I about what it's like when you're touring. If you're an artist or a merch person or, you know, someone who's helping out with a band that's on tour or looking to do that, this is a great interview for you to get a taste and idea of what is it actually like touring. Quentin speaks with us about what it's like in his last two tours, which were actually both in Europe, and a little bit of how the culture is different there than it is here. But all in all, it's solid advice for anyone who's looking at getting into doing a tour anytime in the near future. We'd appreciate that if you like this episode, that you hit like on it, and that you subscribe and let us know where you're listening from. Rate us on your favorite streaming platform, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Samsung Podcasts, or wherever that happens to be, and make sure you follow us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. We're also on TikTok at Unsigned Podcast, and you can find us on our website at su-podcast.com. But besides all of those things, we would really love if you get involved with our conversations here on the podcast. Let us know what you want to hear talked about. Let us know your opinions. Let us know the local Nashville artists that you would like to see interviewed next. And as we're getting pretty close to the end of season 3 here, let us know what you would like to see for season 4. What would help you as an artist or a musician or a whatever you are getting into the professional music industry? Thanks. And we really hope you enjoy this interview.
Didn't the last time we do this, we had headphones and everything or something?
Yes.
Yeah. We were also in a studio. So now you're getting the real full experience of Successfully Unsigned in our house.
I do tell people, like, I got coffee with a friend before this. I was telling her about this, and like, they really rolled out the red carpet.
Yeah.
On my episode, they like booked time in a studio, and it was a bigger studio, and just like so much effort went into that one.
Yours is probably, I think Anastasia's is probably our longest one. Like last, it was that one was 6 hours.
Yours, 6 hours? From the time she got there to.
Well, we actually went to her house, and we did like a whole closet tour because she has crazy costumes. And then yours, I don't know, we were there till about 1 a.m. So something like that. What, 7 to 1?
5 hours.
5 hours. Okay,
and then you and I got Waffle House after.
Yeah. Mm. So yours is like our second longest one.
No,
probably.
7 to 1 is 6 hours.
Oh,
is okay. It?
Okay. Yeah. Because they're opposites on the clock.
Oh, you know.
Okay,
if this makes the interview not can count to 4 really well. You know. That's my agenda.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned.
It's going to begin the interview. Okay.
We are here with our very, very special friend and our buddy. Like, I think it's been about a year since we had you on almost.
Yeah.
Or a little over a year. Yeah. And then I think your sound check drum solo came out about a year ago, like a week ago today or something.
Just about.
So we have Quentin here with us again, and Quentin is our very dear friend with all three of us. Unfortunately, David could not be here. He had work. Boo. But
wish David was here too.
I know. But he's always, you know, we've hung out with him quite a few times since then. But he's a very busy man.
David?
You.
Oh. But Dave is busy, too.
David is very busy, too. All of us are busy in our own different way. But Quentin is very busy just traveling the world and doing all these crazy things. So last time that we had you on, you were just about to go on your first tour with the band Hallocene. Halocene or Hallocene? We were discussing this the other day.
Hallocene.
Okay.
Like, if you're going to really enunciate Hallocene. Hallocene.
Hallocene. Okay.
And say fast. It's
and since you've been drumming with them ever since, and you're about to leave on tour with them again next week. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, like, man, we really wish we could do a touring episode, but none of us have been on tour to really talk about it or, like, have any experience or expertise. So we wanted to bring Quentin on, just talk about touring, catch up just a tiny bit, but also just to discuss what touring life is like, because, I mean, you're going you know, to different countries as well. So it's not like you're just doing a small little East Coast tour or something like that, which those are have their own hardships as well. But I also wanted to do this, and this is the thing that I was saving to a podcast. We just announced that, well, I say we, I, we, however, we just announced that I will be going on tour with our friend LOL's Leah. We've had her on the podcast, and go check out her episode. It's a really fun one. I love Leah's music. She's doing a co-headlining tour with another band named Dawn, D-A-V-V-N. I love Dawn so much. I am the biggest fan. And so they were going on tour, and I was already going to be going to a few shows. And I was like, hey, any chance I could just join you on tour? So I'm hoping you can give me some pointers. It's an East Coast tour, so but it's about 10 days, and that will be the first time I've ever done anything like that. So I'm excited. But
you did mention that to me.
I did. I did mention that I was thinking about it. And now it is officially confirmed. We have officially announced it. I'll be selling merch. So we will be going to Philadelphia October 9th. October 10th will be in New Jersey. And the 11th, I don't remember. But go check at LOL's Leah's page. We're also going to North Carolina, Orlando, Atlanta, and of course here in Murfreesboro. So if you're at any of those places, please come. Would love to see you. Leah and Dawn would appreciate it as well. And they have some great artists going on tour with them, including our friends Hexproof and Glitch Gum. And so I'm really excited. And I'm excited to talk to you today just in general, but also about touring. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're going to have a great time.
So as someone who's about to go on tour, what like first kind of beginner pointers would you give? Because you'd been on tour before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just to preface, I might need like specific follow-up questions.
Okay.
Because there really is just sort of a lot that goes into mm-hmm. everything. And there's a lot that you take for granted in the moment because you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the European side of things
mm-hmm.
that you just forget even happened or are cultural differences or something. But beginner pointers, maybe pack early.
Okay.
Don't pack the night before.
I need that advice.
I am a pack the night before.
Or the morning of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So. However, I also know what I typically wear. I wear sort of the same thing every day. It's like a pair mm-hmm. of jeans, the same shoes. You need socks and underwear. That's a given. And then I just grab a couple shirts that, if I lost on tour, I wouldn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you really trying to impress on tour when you're just not performing? That's kind of my mentality is mm-hmm. I want to look cool. I like to think I look cool all the time. Everyone wants to look presentable in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you're hustling gear in a variety of weather types. So kind of more dress for utility and comfort.
I didn't even think of that. See, I've been like playing on my outfits for like,
but it's supporting. Different. If you're selling merch, typically, I will say this. I don't mean this as a sexist thing. Usually, women are the merch slingers, so it's kind of like being a bartender. I'm not saying dress in revealing clothes or anything, but dress presentable
mm-hmm.
because there's a good chance that surface level wise, you would maybe get more tips because people might go by and they're really good looking or something, and I'll just whatever change is left over can go in the till. If you're kind of slobby and you have like a ketchup stain on a white t-shirt and a bunch of like, you know what I mean? It's like a worn-in shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, like it's, I hate to sound superficial. It's just kind of
true.
Kind of true.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like you think about a lot of like roadie types wear cargo pants and shorts because they maybe have a pocket knife to cut things. They have a roll of tape to their pants, like gaff tape. They have a flashlight because it's always dark in venues. A variety of different tools that they, over the years, they've come to realize, this is something I could really use that would speed up my process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a belt that can be tightened. So they usually, not, maybe not like a leather belt. They just go for one of those I don't know what they're called, like canvas belts that have the two
D-rings
on them, and those like really don't come loose and you can always adjust it. So thinking more about the practicality of everything and and comfort, like these pants are a little tight. They're not fun to try and like stretch in. So, but I wear these on tour. These are like everyday pants because whatever, like they're easy to maneuver in, but I'm also in the band. So then there's like kind of a, you want to kind of look cool, right?
Right, for sure.
Cause you're in the band, man. But even band guys, it's like, I see all the time, it's black clothing because it doesn't show sweaty kind of sweat stains. It doesn't show food stains. You can kind of be, you can blend in inconspicuously in most scenarios. It's usually a hoodie because you have pockets in there, all that stuff. I'm kind of off topic with the question, but that's, I guess, where like packing clothes, the mindset would be.
And I think, you know, one thing kind of that seems like you're kind of getting to is the idea that tour is, going on a tour is work just like anything else.
Yeah.
And so you have to be mindful
that's
that
very true.
You are going to work. You know, you have to carry the tools with you. You got to have the gaff tape or the light flashlight or the whatever, you know. You got to have the right clothes for the job. You know, nurses go and wear scrubs. Why? Because that's what nurses, I don't know why they wear scrubs, but they do. You know, that's the thing.
It'd be kind of silly if you were in the construction business.
Yeah.
If you went to work in a suit every day.
Yeah.
It's not going to suit the needs of the job.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't know until you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to do one tour to understand what you need to do on tour. And the roles change, of course. Like I'd said, merch is different from roadieing, which is different from the band, which is different from any other job.
But also, while we're discussing clothes, I want to point out how the other day me and him went like antique shopping, vintage shopping, and we got a lot of compliments. Like people, I think, thought we were like trying to coordinate outfits or something.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you just kind of have like a look that draws attention to yourself. And so like I wear clothes that draw attention to myself. I was actually wearing shorts. I dressed up for Quentin today for his merch.
Big honor.
And he likes Halloween. So I know that.
Yeah.
And maybe you like math. I don't know if that's
we have already established.
Oh, you're not very good.
Four is as high as I can count.
That's true.
So you tell me you don't ever do like 7-8 or like 9-18?
I like 7-8.
You do like 7-8?
7-8's a fun time signature.
Anyway, so if we like went out and there was one lady who was like, you guys are just so adorable. Or like, I don't know. She was just like, I love your outfit. She's like, have fun or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess. And we like went to Spirit of Halloween, which was like very fitting because I was wearing like a Scream shirt. And so I guess we just looked like we worked at Spirit of Halloween. So
a couple good looking guys.
Yeah.
Some schnazzy fits.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I've been like planning all the outfits I want to do for tour, but I didn't even think about like, OK, I do also need to make sure I'm wearing stuff for like, because I'm going to help obviously a little bit with like loading in stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not officially on that. I'm kind of doing like a tour management assistant sort of thing because Leah is the one who's running, who's like managing the tour. So I'm just kind of being an assistant to her, gain some experience, and then also, of course, doing some merch, too.
It's great. So maybe not white.
Okay.
I would avoid white.
Good to know.
Because boxes get dirty and everything's bringing stuff you don't care a lot about. Because inevitably, everyone loses something. A sock goes missing.
Okay. I don't
unless you're able to keep track of your stuff.
I
am personally very, I can hold myself accountable and know where most of my things are. So long as no one touches my stuff, which we can get. That is a whole other topic of personal space on tour.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
about beginning stages. I mean, usually a tour has like a tour manager, so they kind of brief everyone on the big ins and outs.
What was the first time you went on tour?
My definition of tour is leaving home for more than like 5 days and then returning after that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 2022.
Oh,
is
wow.
When I did my first tour. I've done a lot of weekend warrior touring where you leave a Thursday and you're home late Sunday.
Okay.
But that's like a run.
Right.
That's not necessarily a tour in my eyes.
So for the sake of everybody that is watching this, what are some of the big differences between doing the Weekend Warrior stuff versus going on an actual like tour, you know, like out for several days, a week, 2 weeks, whatever? What are some of the big differences in like the feel, the vibe, the expectations, you know, the etiquette, the any of the above?
Well, you know, you're more mentally, you have to prepare. I am not returning to my home and the creature comforts of my close proximity of home for up to 30 days or 10 days. Yeah, for you, it's 10 days. So let's just assume 15, because you're going to have some travel days before and after. And you have to kind of mentally prepare. How much soap do I need? Like, did I bring enough Q-tips? Do I have enough bathroom essentials to get me through? You don't need to bring maybe a whole roll, like whole tube of toothpaste. You could bring maybe two travel sized ones, or, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You don't need as much stuff for that amount of time. So then for the longer tour, you need some more things. I bring like a whole bottle of body wash, not a travel size one. I think it's just more the mental prep of what do I need to bring with me that's going to make me feel as comfortable as I can, basically in a car for 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll bring pillows and a blanket, because sometimes buses will provide those things. For us, we travel in an RV, so
okay,
that is not provided. And like, I am a two pillow kind of guy, where some people are one, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting enough comfort and rest when I need it. So otherwise, it's not that there's so much different. It depends too on your budget. The Weekend Warrior stuff I was doing was more cover and tribute based. So there was just more money that I knew I could spend. So I could go, if I wanted a Coca-Cola, I could go buy a Coca-Cola. I didn't have to, and I could buy Coca-Cola. I didn't have to buy Sam's Cola.
Mm.
Or if I wanted to have a nice meal, I could go have a nice meal. It wasn't, okay, I have $5 that I'm willing to spend on my food today, so I'm actually going to buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter, and that will get me through that time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
However, it depends on the person. I'm pretty frugal, so even on this tour that we're doing, I'm going to buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter, because I'm not going to want to spend the money on food, because the whole idea is that my livelihood, this is how I make my money. If I come home with no money, how am I supposed to pay rent when I get home?
That's true.
And all my
bills. I didn't even think of that. Like, because you're gone so much. And like, if you're just in the car, like, you can't be just eating out all the time.
Some people do. And like, it's an easy trap to get into. I just told you guys today, let's go get food after this. It is a social thing. You want to celebrate that you're doing it. And what better way than to go eat food?
Yeah.
But it's also a case of, when it's 1 a.m. and you're finally loaded out of the venue, nowadays there are very few places that are open,
mm-hmm.
aside from maybe McDonald's or maybe a Waffle House. When you get up into like the northeast region, you have like Wawa or a Sheetz or something like that, where those are gas stations that make food ready to go or like upon order. Sometimes, though, they close. We walked into one of those gas stations and they were like, sorry, guys, we closed our food assembly.
Mm.
Like, there's not much to rely on. So then suddenly that loaf of bread and jar of peanut butter guy is like, oh, that was a really good idea. And it's a little healthier, too. Like, most of the food you're getting at restaurants or wherever is, unless you're super health conscious, is probably greasy. So I try to think about things like that.
That's a big difference of the
short term and the long term is when it's short term, it's like, what's a couple days eating out for a couple days? I deserve it. I'll treat myself every day for a month.
Yeah.
Twice a day at times. It gets really expensive, especially if you don't have like a per diem, and a per diem is an amount of money that is negotiated in your overall payment as the band of, okay, each member gets $20 a day on a show day to eat. There's some circumstances where you'll experience a buyout. And what a buyout it is normally you have a rider as a band that you submit to the venue, and it's got, for us, it's like chips and salsa and some sparkling water and some canned coffees or anything you really want that you know you'll eat that is supposed to sustain you to the next day. And fortunately, sometimes venues buy a lot more, so then you take them with, you put them in your cooler and whatever vehicle you're traveling in. But then sometimes you don't get that. They'll just buy out, and then each member gets their however much to then you go around the corner and you get ramen at some place, or you go to Subway, or you save it. Like, there was a tour where I just kind of saved a lot of it and thought, well, we're going to get tattoos at some point, so I'll save for the tattoo, or I don't need anything, so I'm just going to come home with a little extra money. Mm-hmm. But you also do miss out on the camaraderie.
Yeah.
When you don't go, or you can go, you just have to have the self-restraint to not buy anything. And then that's kind of weird too. But just kind of being smart. And
yeah,
sometimes it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing of tour is sometimes you got to say no, because you don't want to go out and party afterwards. You want to go sleep because you haven't slept more than 4 hours in a 5-day stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the scenario is. So those are kind of things. I mean, everyone's situations are different. Mm-hmm. My experience, kind of going back to short-term touring, long-term touring, is I was driving myself with the short-term, Weekend Warrior stuff. So I had my own car. I could go do whatever I wanted. Long-term touring has been everyone is in the same vehicle together.
Okay, so you guys are all together.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to be aware of yourself and everyone else's feelings, how someone is, feelings in general, just personal, but then day-to-day feelings of this person definitely woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It is now not a time to joke or be playful with them, because they're probably their fuse wick is a little shorter. So, but also aware of everyone else's space in terms of, for me, I'm very territorial. This is my bunk. Don't go in my bunk. Don't touch my bunk. I don't want you to look at my bunk. Preferably, this is my area to do what I want in. If I want all my clothes out of the bunk, that's me.
Yeah.
If I want them all in a suitcase, that's me. But don't stick stuff in my bunk. We have a common area where we can put other things. But fortunately, that hasn't really like erupted on any tour. Sometimes, and it's natural, you get to a venue maybe a little late and everyone kind of throws up their stuff in a dressing room. And you're going, I don't understand why this person needs this chair and this piece of floor and then this shelf. Just consolidate it to this area. Mm-hmm. So I usually go in and I pick one chair and I'm like, this is my chair. And I lay all my stuff out to hopefully get to the point across of, this is my zone.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't mess with my zone. Because each day is a new home. And everyone's different. Some people don't care. Some people are like, hey, go through my stuff. It doesn't matter. I have nothing to hide. It's just I would like some privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get privacy when you have 8 pirates cruising down the highway and then going from place to place.
So do you guys ever stay anywhere, or is it literally you always are sleeping in the RV?
It depends. So the first Halloween tour, we took a van with a U-Haul trailer. And we had Airbnbs every night.
Oh, wow.
And we could have did hotels, too. But the Airbnbs are a little more homey and usually have enough rooms for everybody where maybe there's 2 people to a room or 3 people. But no one's sleeping on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually enough beds and you can it's nice with Airbnb is you can select the amount of people and all those different statistics mm-hmm. or needs, and you'll find the places. So that was the first tour, and got to see some really unique places, some really happening homes because of the amount of people. We have like 7 people with us. So that usually turns into bigger homes that are more impressive.
Yeah.
But the first time we went to Europe, we were in hostels every night.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So for the hostels we had, it was just a hotel, but all of us were in a room. So you're looking at bunk beds, and we would get 2 rooms. One was for the band, the other was for the crew. Me and the guest singer took the bunk beds, and then the 2 members of Halocene got the queen bed because they have known each other the longest. So they were used to that. And that was every night. So even if we only were going to get 3 hours of sleep, we'd roll in, and it was at least a place to shower and use a real restroom that was private and have a sort of cushy bed. Spring tour, we shook it up where we were in an RV and then would sleep in the RV. And the RV basically acted as the vehicle, the hotel, and the dressing room for pretty much every night. We would stop at Planet Fitnesses, and that's where we would park and sleep. You could get up, you could use the shower, you could go to the bathroom. If you wanted to work out in the morning, you could do that. And that was the hub most days. On some days off, they would get Airbnbs for us, or we'd do a hotel or something mm-hmm. just to have like some band camaraderie. And if we have nowhere to be, let's get out of that RV and kind of see the town. So we would. Was it that tour? Where did we end up? There weren't a ton of off days on that tour, so we saw a lot of the RV.
Y'all should be sponsored by Planet Fitness, honestly.
But a lot of bands do that. Mm. It's not super uncommon. I don't think Planet Fitness really wants to promote that idea. I probably shouldn't even be saying it, but don't be open 24 hours.
True.
Most times. I'm not saying if you want to attract a certain type of business, but like, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, like it. Very grateful that facilities like that are open and have those types of things. It's not like we're breaking in, though. I mean, like everyone paid for their membership, and the Black Card membership allows you to bring a guest. So it's just using your resources.
Right. Exactly.
Before I did Halocene, we did that same idea with Planet Fitnesses, and a lot of those members were working remotely, while on tour.
Ooh.
And they have a lounge for that. But there were times where they would kick us out. Like, you guys are here and just hanging out, and you're spending too much time here. It's like, but you're a lounge.
Yeah.
You have Wi-Fi. You're promoting working in your space. I don't get what the big deal is.
Yeah.
So they had an issue with that for some reason.
Hmm.
But and then Europe this time around, most recently in June, was with an RV. And most of the band and crew would stay in the RV, but then we would end up at a campsite that night. And European camping is very different than American camping. It's pretty much a built up area where people just park RVs and sit outside the RV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's not like roughing it camping.
Right.
Yeah. You are having to build a fire and pitch a tent, all that stuff. Definitely some campsites felt like that. Like, there was a campsite we stayed at. Beautiful scenery, but you went to the shower facility and it was truly like an outhouse.
Gotcha.
It was wood stalls with a shower head, and you're thinking, I feel a little exposed right now. But there was no one there, so.
Yeah.
And the water got hot. It's just, I am not an outdoorsy person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it took a bit of mental acceptance to understand, like, okay, this is unique.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
Well, speaking of expose, we have to take a quick break, but we'll expose some more about the touring world just after this.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
And we're back from tour. Actually, we did a whole tour in between that break.
It was great, guys.
Yeah, it's been about a month. David's still at work a month later.
He's still on tour.
No, but all that is really interesting. So I guess what have been sort of the key differences? You've already mentioned some, but what have been some of the key differences between the American tours and the European tours? You've only done Europe, right? Have you done anywhere else?
Europe and UK.
Okay.
UK is not with Europe anymore.
Right.
They split. But it's,
yeah,
the only real difference is driving on different sides of the road.
OK.
But if anything, there's more just cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
The touring is usually all the same. Actually, Europeans, I think, in general, are just far more organized and abide by the flow of the day mm-hmm. that has been previously determined before we even rolled into the venue.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
They're just on top of it. They are very much, we need to be on time. There is this amount of time for this thing, and we are not to go over that time limit. So, like, we need to get to the venue by 12. And if we're late, that is supposed to be embarrassing. Where over here, it's kind of like, it depends on the tour, of course. Usually, you kind of get to know everybody, and it's understandable, like, hey, guys, you were late. But also, don't let it happen again. Like, it shows respect for everyone and everyone's time. And that's just general, right? Like, you just shouldn't mm-hmm. be late. But over here, everything's a little more relaxed, where it happens and no big deal. But over in Europe, it's a little more, like, you might get screamed at if you're late or something. It never happened. Necessarily on some festivals it might happen, but we were always very conscientious of rolling into the festivals, in particular the tour manager was anyway, on time and follow the day as it goes mm-hmm. and talk to people, but it's just a little more regimented. It's okay. Not so loosey-goosey as it is the states are a little loose. There is a power difference, so you need a different adapter to plug into European power, and then the UK power is different from the European power.
Whoa. Okay.
So you have all these adapters, and fortunately the tour crew that we've had is from Belgium, and that's what they do. So they have all these different converter boxes specifically made for our American power that then plug into the European power. And then they also have a UK version, all these different adapters. It's really fascinating, but you would never think. It's kind of almost like the last thought, because we don't have to think about that here. It's a big change over there. Mm-hmm. And they're just more organized. Europeans are a little more precisely put together about mm-hmm. things. So it's not a dig. It's just an observation. It's respectful of other people's time and not really like super ego-y, where I think a lot of American US touring is very kind of like ego-based and not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. And that's fine. And some people forget to respect other people's time. And that's just been my experience. So especially coming from as an opener standpoint, a lot of times in the spring tour, actually, we were given 5 minutes to set up.
What?
And that wasn't because we did anything wrong. It's just, well, our sound check ran late. Well, why does that have to be our fault?
Yeah.
Like, I understand. Don't get me wrong. Like, your stuff has to work. But you're giving us no time to set up.
No.
That's not cool. And people just taking time to get... There was no sense of urgency. Where with Europeans, they want to finish early. Because they just want to, like, sit around and smoke. or talk. And I kind of like that a little more.
Huh. Yeah.
But more on the fun side, when you're traveling, you go to a gas station, you have to pay a euro most places to use the restroom facilities. Kind of crazy. You get the euro back in the form of a ticket, and it is to be used on a purchase within the gas station.
Oh.
So the first time I did this, this has been two European tours. I have had to borrow euros every time. I owe the European tour crew probably $40 or 40 euros at this point. Because every time we stop, I just want to make sure I'm using the bathroom. Because you never know when something might hit you or how long it might be till the next ride. And the more you stop, the less miles you feel like you've traveled. It just like totally sucks away the day. So you don't want to stop as much. So initially I thought, oh, I'm going to save up all these tickets. I'll get like 7 of these euros and I'll buy a sandwich. And they don't allow you to merge the tickets. You can't use multiples at the same time. You have to use one at a time. And it's kind of frustrating. Because you would think, why not just merge? It's still 7 euros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nope.
Is that all from like the same chain, or is that from different like?
I think it's mostly a similar chain. Mm. Everywhere else has some of their own things. There were some places we would stop where they just had a bowl out that you're supposed to put a euro coin in. I did not.
You bathroom thief.
You got to go. You got to go.
Yeah.
So how much, just so I have some context, how much is a euro compared to like an American dollar?
It's like a little more than a dollar, right?
Pay a dollar to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's like more than, I want to say it's like maybe close to $2.
We can look it up. You want to look it up? I want to say the euro is a little, just a hair more than a dollar.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. $1.11.
Yeah.
So a little over a dollar.
That's crazy.
How
far does it go, like toward like a sandwich? Is it kind of like here? That's what
you're saying. Honestly just think of euros the same as dollars.
Yeah.
It's.
Okay. But I mean, like, how expensive is a sandwich? Like, I'm asking.
It would be like 5.
Okay.
7 euro.
Okay.
Depends on the sandwich. I will say oh my gosh, the food.
Yeah.
So much better.
I believe really? That.
My stomach is in a better place when I'm in Europe.
I've always heard that.
Digestively my overall gut happiness.
I've heard that about like the bread and the gluten and stuff over there is supposed to be a lot better.
Yeah, like people will like go to Europe for 2 weeks, eat whatever they want and lose weight.
Yeah.
Because it's like not all the process of her. Even when we had Layla and Nick on, they were both from the country Gibraltar. And like, especially Nick really had, he was just visiting, but Layla, she's like, when I first moved here, like it took a while for my stomach to adjust to all the like processed foods and just garbage really that America has. So,
cause everything needs to have an extended shelf life and last a long period of time.
Yeah.
Over there, it's a loaf of bread's not lasting more than 3 days. It will get hard and hurt your teeth. So
as far as like the bathroom goes, that's honestly like a good question. Like, is it sometimes just really rough to like find one, or I guess is there like emergencies ever? Or is I don't know.
It's
like, do you go to a bathroom in the RV? Or is there not?
No,
one?
We
okay.
A lot of bands who tour will allow number one in the potty. Number two, they make up their own rules. It's either you owe us, you owe the band money, or you go in a one of those heavy duty black bags, like those garbage bags.
Ooh, yeah.
But you're still paying people. We have never had an instance like that. Fortunately, mm-hmm. we don't even pee in the bathroom because okay. that will inherently still smell. And then we have to clean it anyway. So we're just trying mm-hmm. to minimize the cleaning at the end of the tour. But most of the roads we were traveling in Europe were very similar to the Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania turnpikes. A main road that you're on, you can get off on a rest stop. You got food, you have all the essentials,
mm-hmm.
and then restrooms. Fascinating, some of the toilet seats will rotate and clean themselves. You like wave your hand and then the toilet seat will turn. And it cleans the toilet seat. Huh. It's kind of neat.
Okay. Interesting. So health-wise, I guess, you know, you were talking about, like, Planet Fitness and working out. And then even just, like, food and stuff like that. Like, what does it look like? Even sleep, too. Which, I guess, actually, that's my first question about sleep is, okay, so you're doing these shows. I'm assuming most of them late at night. But then you're still having to go to venues early in the morning. And can I ask why a venue would need you there so early in the morning?
It depends on the role of the band.
Okay.
Usually, you have a driver for your vehicle. So you can go to that driver's sleeping during the day. At mm-hmm. night, they are up, they are driving. So most bands will sleep at night while they're being driven. And then that driver will arrive in the next city 5 a.m., however long it takes. And a lot of times with, like, big buses, they park outside the venue because it's all coned off. It's pre-scheduled and everything. And then the band just hangs around the venue. So you can get up. You can go get coffee. You could go,
okay.
go for a run around the city. Go explore, whatever you want to mm-hmm. do until it's time to go. For us, don't have a driver, so usually the tour manager will be driving, but the tour manager's running around crazy all day trying to put out fires and mm-hmm. negotiate things and keep everyone on a schedule. Same with, like, the merch person. The merch person for us usually will help drive too, but they're slinging merch all day. So they've been up the same amount of time we have been, and then they're expected to drive maybe 5 hours or something in a 10-hour drive through mm-hmm. the night just to get us halfway, as opposed to doing it during the day in one shot, because there's just going to be more traffic during the day.
Yeah.
I try to stay up with the person who's driving if no one else is, because it's smarter to have a pilot and a co-pilot.
Right.
Just in case. And I feel really guilty that they have to do a lot of driving, where I'm like, I loaded drums and stuff and played, but you've been going all day.
Yeah.
So, so for us then, because as an opener, you'll arrive at 3 PM instead of 11 AM. And they'll try to tier it where headliner rolls in at 11. They bring in their gear for an hour. Band number two rolls in at noon. So while the headliner is setting up their gear on stage, that second opener or that direct support will be loading and setting their stuff. And then sound check will happen. Direct support's ready to go. And then the same thing will repeat for direct support gets on stage, opener rolls in, and it's just not a congested mess of everyone's gear is vomiting all over the dance floor, and it could just be a nightmare. So that's why you have bands who load in very early, so you can sound check, okay. do your thing.
That makes sense.
Give the other bands enough time to set up their stuff. And then every band on the past couple tours have had VIP meet and greets. And then you have to figure out where three different VIP meet and greets can take place, because a lot of the times everyone wants the stage so they can use the PA, so they can perform an exclusive song or do a Q&A. And for us, we've had to scale it back where it's an acoustic song usually in a corner of the venue or outside of our RV or some other location, do an acoustic song, then do a Q&A. It's just more casual.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's honestly cooler because you're this close.
For sure.
With this band. If Kiss offered that, oh my God. Can you imagine? Or Blackville Brides, dude, being this close to them? Not to sound like a creep. It's just more intimate.
Yeah.
And it seems a little more relatable and human.
Meet and greet. Yeah.
So I guess going back to Healthwise, like, do you feel, obviously you like, I'm assuming you like touring. You've told me before, like, that's what you want to do. So do you feel like healthy on tour? Or like sometimes when you get back, are you like, oh my goodness, I'm just so glad to sleep for the next 3 months or whatever?
It depends on, excuse me, the routing of everything. Pardon me. The spring tour we just had, we were going like 8-hour drives for the first week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really rough because then there's time zone changes too.
Oh, yeah.
You're thinking, well, I would like to sleep 8 hours at some point, but we have to drive 8 hours to get to the next venue. So we wrap up at 1 a.m. We're out of the venue, maybe midnight, perhaps. Let's drive 8 hours. So that's 8 a.m. And then we have to be at the venue by, let's just say, 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of time.
Right.
On paper, there's a lot of time. But then you factor in, we don't have a driver. So now we have to split it into chunks. And then we're going to have pee breaks. We're also traveling in an RV. So that is not the same as darting around in a car. And we're going to want to eat. And I am a morning coffee guy. I want the caffeine flowing. What was the question again?
Just your health. Like
health. So for that, that's where I was going with this. If it's long stretches of time with no sleep, yeah, I'm ready to, by the end of it, get home and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Set the timer off and just sleep for however long I need and get that back. Other times I eat more home cooked meals on tour than I do when I'm at my apartment because I eat like a Boy Scout who's camping on when I'm home.
Gotcha.
Like a can of beans and a hot dog, like pork and beans, man.
Pork and beans are great.
But it's just personally, I don't care.
Yeah.
And like, what have you ever gotten sick on tour?
I have been like cold sick, not like pukey.
Okay.
Violently ill. But yeah, being sick on tour is not fun.
Yeah.
But at that point, everyone's pretty aware. Do you feel
like sometimes it happens because it's just like so much lack of sleep? Or is it literally just sometimes just like, oh, no, it's cold season?
I think there's that. I think it's cold season. Right now, I mean, springtime is cold season. Fall time is cold season because you have the change of seasons. So then you have all this pollen getting kicked up and all that stuff. Pretty natural to have like maybe like a sinus cold or something. Or feel mucusy. I think everyone's pretty respectful and aware of, okay, they are sick. Let's let them sleep it off. And someone else will pick up the slack somewhere.
Okay.
Especially for the singers in particular, of they more than anyone need to have their sinuses in check and all that stuff. Where, not that the drums are any less important, but I don't have to deliver a stellar vocal performance.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't have to go to like the VIP meet and greet if I should be sleeping off something.
Gotcha.
So otherwise, fortunately for us, we're all pretty like health conscious.
Good.
Our singer likes to be in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I like to eat fruit and stuff. The guitarist who we have with us is basically a bodybuilder. So he's very health conscious too, where there's not, it's no one's first choice to go to McDonald's. We're like, you know, there's this ramen place that's around the corner. Let's go there.
Gotcha.
Or there's, what do you guys want? Let's go sushi. And it's generally light and easy on stomach and everything. Mm-hmm. And we got tea in the RV and everything. And
okay,
kind of going back to like, what could you prepare for a tour? Like the worst case scenario, like having throat coat tea. If you're a singer, you should have that. Honey. Definitely. Some people like ginger,
mm-hmm.
like all those things to help keep that all work in them. And maybe like some bananas.
Okay.
And just cold medicine. Like if you get headaches, pack some ibuprofen. Like all these things of, like, you're going to be gone for a long period of time.
Right, so, right.
And not that you can't stop and get it along the way. It just takes more time out of the touring.
Right.
Where wouldn't it be nice when you're in a part of the world, a country that you've never been, to explore it instead of exploring the Walmart of Boston.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
So that's kind of the struggle, too, is, and this is coming from a guy who loves Walmart. Irrationally loves Walmart. I would still like to see downtown Boston before I saw the Walmart that's outside of Boston.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. And I kind of want to talk about relationships and tour.
Okay.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Anyway, welcome back to Successfully Unsigned and our Successfully Unsigned tour that does not exist, but maybe one day, hopefully one day. So I wanted to talk about like relationships, because obviously a tour, you're in close proximity with people. You've been on tour with how many different bands?
Long form tour?
Yeah, I guess long form.
Two.
Two? Okay. So, I mean, I don't know how much experience you have with this. It sounds like Halicene kind of has like a good structure, but how do you deal with like all the different personalities that come into tour and being in such an enclosed, tight space? Because even like, you know, there are some trips or whatever, like that people will go on. It's like, okay, after a week, like I'm done seeing my, like, these are my best friends, but I'm done with them. And obviously tour, like you said, is work. So it's a little different. Rather than like you're not just going to vacation or anything, but I'm sure that's something that still comes into play.
Yeah, it's, I don't hang out with my band really at all when we're not touring, unless it's work related. We're not going to the mall or getting food somewhere. It just doesn't happen. So when we're on tour is kind of the time to really get back in touch with them on a more like friend basis. But it can, and I don't mean this to like read between the lines, it's just more in general, separating business and pleasure, not the worst idea. Because it just, if something business-wise was to not work out, it's harder to break away then. And I mean that with sincerity. I don't mean that as some sort of jaded rockstar mentality. It's just, if for anything, right, it's, isn't it nice to go out and like, I'm watching The Office, right? They do so many things outside of The Office as a group, but then it makes it harder to execute the business side of things because you're now so entangled with personalities and personal feelings and all that stuff. So it's just being aware of yourself and others. Every musician is quite a big personality, usually.
Right.
A lot of ego.
Right.
A lot of, I think I'm the greatest. And you should. There is nothing wrong with that. I think I'm the greatest. And I know I'm not, but I still think I am. But when you're on tour, you have to be aware that everyone else thinks that too. So it's okay to laugh at yourself, and it's okay to laugh at someone else too. But also have a pulse on, is this person getting more upset with this, or are they totally on board with the joke? Also, everything doesn't have to be a joke. You can just have quiet time too. It's, I think a lot of musicians and bands and artists think it's got to be one big party and we got to recreate the dirt and live like it's 1984 and sex, drugs, women and guys and partying and bleh. Like, no, you can be a touring band of librarians, too. And that's honestly probably better.
Yeah.
Because then if you do want to get crazy, you savor that moment more. But also, you get old and you just don't want to do that. I've never really wanted to do that. My form of partying is hitting the McDonald's at like 1 a.m. and acting a fool. But in a very like drama department high school way. Not
I dig it.
Let's do cocaine off of the 5 Big Macs that are sitting in front of me. You know what I mean? Like there's it's just understanding who you're living with.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to my personal space thing and setting boundaries. If you see someone who's putting stuff in your bunk, you can very politely just say, I don't want you to set stuff in my bunk. This is my zone.
Mm.
And that's, it takes a lot of courage to have to stick up for yourself or set a boundary or stand up and say, you know, I don't like this, or I wish this wouldn't happen anymore. It's hard, but you have to for your own sanity. And I think anyone would totally respect that. I would, if someone came up to me and were like, you know, you leave your raisin bread in this shelf. And that really bothers me. Can you move it to this shelf? Yeah, I will move my raisin bread to this shelf. This is not an example that has ever happened. I'm just saying, like, very lightheartedly, this it's sorting it out like adults and finding a solution, not why is this here? And then like throwing it or something. It's thinking like a thoughtful person.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with a solution to something that's bothering you. Like I get it. If you want to listen to music while you're driving, just go like, hey, I'm trying to read a book right now or something. Can we alter this somehow? Problem solving is a big preserver of relationships. But everyone's pretty aware. Like, I mean, you also have to let your guard down a bit too. It's not, you're on tour with everyone else and they're also on tour with you. You have to have give and take.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just think it's all about you, because not everyone wants to be a librarian on tour. Some people do want to blast music and slug energy drinks and, you know, have party time. And that's totally fine. It's their tour, too. That's how they have fun. And if you don't like that, when the car is parked, you can leave. So there's a lot of times I just have I like my alone time. So I will go find a comic book store and I will leave. And if I want people to come with, I invite people. If I don't want people to come with, I just go by myself. And I know when I have to be back because the schedule tells me I need to be back. Or I tell the tour manager, hey, I'm going to be gone. If a situation arises, don't go looking for me. Because it says here I have this amount of time, so I won't be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how does that work with like days off? Like typically, how many days off do you have in between certain shows? Like, will you do a run of like 4 shows and then have a day or two off, or is it just kind of random?
It's pretty random. It's okay. It's contingent on what the booking agency can book for you within the restrictions of the venue's calendar. So coming up here for fall, we have a show in St. Louis, the next day in Bloomington, Illinois, and then 2 days off. Okay. But in those 2 days, you're thinking, oh, this is great, 2 days off. Well, we have to make it down to Dallas, Texas.
Mm.
From Bloomington, Illinois.
Gotcha.
Dallas, I mean, Texas, is a huge state.
Yeah.
You could almost spend an entire day traveling through the state of Texas.
Yeah.
So on paper, great off days. Realistically, those are going to be some exhausting travel days, probably like 2 10-hour drives, I'm guessing. But you can still have fun. You know, if we get up early, each person takes shifts driving. We make good time. We could roll into town early and have a chance to go explore or have like, I call it a family meal and sit down at like an Olive Garden or something and enjoy everyone's company in a relaxed state, not feel like you have to constantly look at the clock because I have to be back for meet and greet in 20 minutes. So, just depends.
Okay.
So when you talked a little bit about like the relationships that you have with people on tour, but how many people are on a tour? Who are they? What are the roles when you're looking at going out on the tours that you've been on? What kind of people are there? Who do you expect?
So in my experience thus far, you have the band, which is usually drummer, guitarists. So to say two, singer, you would have a bass player. Our band does not have a bass player. That's the Galaptop. So let's get that finger down. You have a merch person who sort of doubles as media person, and roadie and driver. And you have a tour manager who takes care of all of the business needs, is a runner of sorts, meaning they get things for the band, because it's kind of uncool to see the band walk in the middle of the venue when they haven't gone on yet. And even when they went after, it kills a lot of the mystique. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I like hanging out at the merch booth. I like shaking hands and talking to everybody, but it's a little mysterious when the band's only on stage. Like, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah.
I still wonder that. I have been gigging for over 10 years, and I would love to see backstage footage of Kiss. I don't know why. It's probably so boring.
Yeah.
They're probably just sitting on their phone texting wives or girlfriends or looking at videos or whatever. But you just like it, just something about it. You want to see it.
Yeah.
And if they're just milling around, it kind of like kills the whole. Now, granted, there's the other side of it, too. With, hey, the unicorn. Like, it's Bigfoot. That's exciting, too. I guess my approach to this tour is going to be more I want to hang behind the scenes, because I want to read some books. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my prerogative. Anyway, so the tour manager just kind of does those things, takes care of all the business, makes sure they get paid, like the band gets their payment. I'll be honest with you, there's probably so many other forms and paperwork that they have to fill out that I'm not even aware of. But they are, in a way, the spokesperson for the band, and negotiate a lot of things amongst the other tour managers and make sure everything is going smoothly and no one is upset with anything, stuff like that. They're just a manager of sorts. So tour manager, they manage that. So that's what we have had.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, though, as I mentioned, you have a driver. That is almost an invaluable person, because that truly then you will get your rest. Mm-hmm. And then truly, tour feels so much more like a vacation than it feels like some kind of crazy Mad Max road trip where you're having to do it. You know what I mean? A lot of times you'll have a roadie or two. So maybe you have like a stage manager who can help set up the gear with another roadie. So that means the band doesn't have to touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
The band then can focus on the VIP, warming up and playing a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And socializing, meeting the fans, all that stuff. Not having to worry about, I got to tear down drums and then load the trailer. How are we loading the trailer? And then, well, we got to do this and that. So
yeah.
Okay.
We are, in the past couple experiences, like one step away from being allowed to have those three other luxuries.
Okay.
But I also like setting up my drums and tearing it down. It's, I don't want to say it's therapeutic as much as it is just a time of reflection.
Yeah.
To get in the zone. I know my gear is set up how it needs to be. And then tearing down, as crazy as it can get and stressful and very fast paced, it's still kind of rewarding to go. I can think about the show and really go through everything in my head of, man, that part was great. But that part, I can't do that thing there because that prevented me from X. Yeah, I mean, like all these different thoughts that occur. So
as a tech guy, I got to ask then, you know,
we have an in-house sound guy
that with the band.
So our front of house guy,
Okay. Does he also do your monitors, or do you have somebody else, or How do y'all do that?
The guitarist takes care of our monitors. So we all have iPads where we can shift all that around if we need to.
Are you doing in-ears, I'm assuming?
We're doing in-ears. In my personal preference, in a perfect world, we would have a monitor guy too, because they're working with the front of house guy. It's just, it just takes something else off of my task list. And mid show, I don't have to try and play one handed if I have to adjust something. And they probably know more about my in-ear mix than I would anyway. So I could say, hey, this is sounding a little weird. What do you recommend? They're like, oh, well, we'll scoop this and then we'll add this there. It's just, financially, that's probably on the bottom of the wish list, because housing is very self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. They figured out how to do it this way, and that's what's working. So I can't believe I forgot about the front of house. How embarrassing.
I was just curious, because I know some bands tour with their own guy, and then there's some groups that show up and use whoever's there, whoever the house guy is. And have you done any of the tours that you've been on? Has that been the case in any of those, or have you always had like a front of house?
The first tour, Longform tour I did, we were relying on in-house people. And then with Halocene, it has always been with the same sound front of house engineer.
So how different was that for you as a drummer? Were there differences, or it is what it is, you get up and play?
Trying to think. It's always different, because every time you get asked how big is the drum set, and then you're working within the limitations of what the venue has, which is sort of frustrating, because it's just another conversation that needs to be had, and you have to mentally remember, oh yeah, we need to talk about my needs here. Whereas when you're with your own person, you've sorted that out day one, and they just understand, and they're constantly nurturing it gig to gig. So by the third gig, you're pretty well locked in. It just is up to them to tune things to the different rooms. But I think for that first tour, they also had an independent in-ear mix that they were able to use with an iPad and sort things out. I'm not super picky with my in-ear mix, so I'm really not a great person to ask when it comes to that, because I just need the click, because everything nowadays is with a click that has backing track, or to just keep the show moving, and just some guitar. Otherwise, I never put drums in. I never put really. I put some vocals in.
So you don't even put any kick, no snare, no nothing?
No, because I have been in so many situations where sound people cannot give me that, because I'm dealing with a tiny little wedge. And there's just not enough power to combat how hard I hit, or the smallness of the space. So I'm like, let's just get rid of it. I mean, the kick drum's right here.
Yeah.
I can still hear it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel as powerful as I wish it did. And I don't know. You get what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean. I just find that very interesting. A lot of the drummers that I've worked with on live shows, as they're drumming, they're always asking me, can I get more kick? And I go over there and I look at their iPad or whatever they've mixed for themselves, and there's all the way maxed out at like 10, and I've got the preamp cranked as loud as I can go, and I've EQ'd it, you know, in ways that there's more thump, and they're like, can I get more? And I'm like, no, dude, that's literally all I can give you. I mean,
it's probably because there's not a huge sub.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
under that, like, yeah, in the times that I've had the ability to have a huge sub or subwoofer, oh my gosh, it's great. You can really feel and lock in with yourself, but most venues don't have that, especially a lot of mid-level venues.
Yeah.
I don't mind playing with in-ears, but they will just never have that boost of bass.
Yeah.
Or I just haven't figured out what I need to do to get that. I've even listened to a couple interviews where people rock in-ears but still have a sub on the stage with them to feel the air and the vibrations of it all.
Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we hear, I mean, we say that we can hear 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. That's what people generally say is the human range of hearing. But it's not for most people. You know, most people aren't hearing down to 20. Not really. You know, maybe you hear 40, maybe you hear 50, but that's all sub energy anyway, really. You know, 60 is kind of where we really start to really hear accurately, and at least in my opinion. And we don't hear all the way up to 20K by the time we're our age. We've already filtered off. We burn our ears going to concerts and everything else. And, you know, we're not hearing that high. But that, you know, that 60 down to 20 down to 10 is all just, you feel that. Mm-hmm. That's all. And earphones can't reproduce that. You can't reproduce that, but you can with a giant, you know, 18 inch or a 20 inch or a 22 inch speaker cone, push that, can push that air. So yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're just not in a position where we can demand that or put that on the wish list. Not sure. Yet anyway.
Sure.
For some of the weekend warrior stuff, I've had some great setups mm-hmm. and it's been fantastic, but that's a whole other category.
Yeah.
Of gig. So,
yeah.
Oh, did you have any other questions about tour?
No, you asked a lot of good questions on this.
Quentin, do you have any other advice that you would give to anyone trying to go on tour or about to go on tour?
Just be nice. That's
good advice.
Whether it's touring or regular life,
yeah,
my grandpa taught me this. It's a great lesson. You kill people with kindness. Doesn't mean you have to be a total phony, but maybe if you have to be phony, just kill people with kindness and treat someone else how you would want to be treated. It's not that hard. But if you're thinking about going on tour and you have an offer, you should just go on tour. You will find out very quickly if you like it or not.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it.
Look at it like this. You have, as far as we know, one life in this existence. Try some new things. And you might be surprised that you really like it. But if you don't, you'll at least have a really good story.
Yeah.
And a really good experience to tell someone when you're old and decrepit, hey, I did that. And it was fun or not, or you'll get something out of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what life's about?
That's very true. All right, well, we're going to wrap this segment up. We'll come back with a little show and yell in a game, and we'll be done. And well, we have a game for you.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll be a good one.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
We're back for show and yell.
All right, Quentin, so I don't even remember. What was your show and yell last time?
My show and yell was my drum set that I played on.
That's right. I do remember that now.
Because okay.
Glittery.
It was received. Well, I purchased it from a music shop owner who I then worked for, who then gave me my start in drum lessons and then sadly passed away.
Yes, I do remember that now. Okay, so what is your show and yell today?
I was going to do another death-centric show and yell.
Okay.
And then I decided against it because I couldn't bring it in here. So I don't want to give it away in case I'm back on.
Okay.
And then I need something. But my show and yell is Batman Day is 9/21. It's upon us. I actually thought it was today, but we are 3 days away from okay. Batman Day.
Yep, I was just looking too.
Now,
I was like, wait, what is today?
This episode will air after Batman Day.
Yes.
But Batman is such a huge part of my life. I have a tattoo of Batman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Second tattoo, right?
Yes.
First was Kiss
related. This is Batman related because sometimes you need to look to something to feel inspired. And Bruce Wayne is kind of the ultimate human being in how to succeed and have in like just be so determined. Right. So I have with me the Batman Handbook. and it is The Essential Skills of the Dark Knight Unmasked. It tells you things on how to bulletproof your Batmobile, how to train a sidekick, execute a backflip, swing around a flagpole, take a kick to the head, extract a confession, survive a poison gas attack, many other things. And
I didn't hear the name of it. What was it?
It's the Batman Handbook.
I didn't hear the name of it. What was it?
The Batman.
Show and yell.
The Batman Handbook. So there's. Nice. I got this book probably when I was 10, maybe. This was when
it's really cool.
Discovered Barnes and Noble.
The first time you go in Barnes and Noble as a kid, it's like, this is awesome.
It was. I think so.
Yeah.
So I actually think we were getting Red Lobster with my grandpa, and then down the street was Barnes and Noble. Mm. This was probably around a holiday too, maybe Easter. And we would go in and we would pick a book. And I think I picked this book, and my grandpa got a World War II book. That's a whole other, you know, quite the, like the difference.
Different. You put them both side by side up at the cash register and they're like,
yeah, but, I'm not saying that I am Batman, but you probably haven't seen Batman and me in the same room.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I am honestly, like, jokes aside, I've been meaning to reread this because there's a lot of interesting things in here that
the author, book.
Scott Beatty, put in a lot of effort into research on how to make this real life based. So I have it next to my bed. I've been meaning to reread it, but the office is calling me every night. So, but just there's like,
did you ever
pictures watch in here
season four? Or did you just completely skip it?
Oh, I went back.
Okay.
And nice. So context, I was watching season one, two, and three. And then suddenly there was this whole other character introduced, Holly, and all these new developments, like Ed Helms was now in it. Like, who? Mm-hmm. I just missed something. And then I realized when I was changing out the then second disc of the four disc pack that I was on season five, and I somehow skipped over season four.
Yeah.
So when that second disc was over, I then went back to season four, saw the progression of how Holly got there and how Andy Bernard got there, and then caught back up. So now I'm happily halfway through season six.
Nice.
I think I'm going to finish it today.
Nice.
It's kind of a gray day out.
Okay.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Finish season six or the series?
Season six.
Okay. I was like, you still have a whole season.
Because I have, isn't there an eighth season too?
Is there? I don't remember. There's a lot of seasons.
So my best friends, it's their favorite show. They're like, yeah, we don't have season eight because it wasn't that good, but here's seasons one through seven.
Okay.
I've been looking for season eight.
Okay.
Cannot find it. But either way, in closing, if you're a Batman fan, great book. Really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I always think it's neat when these authors put together kind of cheeky books like this of how, like, behind the mask kind of things, or like more detailed descriptions of like character bios or something like that. It's like very informative. It's not just reading the comic and you are lost in the story. So in a time of rebuild, I am rebuilding how to be Batman.
Have you used this for any of your idol inspiration?
I have not. Not really? This book.
Okay.
Oh, wait, so we didn't even talk about that.
About that
we
got, at all.
Okay, well, we let's do show and yells real quick, and I do want to talk about Idol.
Okay.
Oh, and the game, but that the game won't take long. Okay, you do yours next.
Mine is also a book. It is. Make sure I brought the right one. A botany book!
Botany?
Botany.
Lobotomy book.
No, not lobotomy. Whoa. Botany. It's an old botany book. Botany is all about plants, if that's an old word that nobody really uses too much anymore. This one is from like 1908. It's when the copyright was made from the president and fellows of Harvard College. I love plants. I think plants are so interesting and awesome. And I love gardening. Been out in the garden my whole life. And this book is, I don't know, I haven't actually read this one, But it has like a really cool cover.
Did you read through that?
No, I've not read through. I said I haven't.
Would you read through that?
No, it's more of a reference book.
Yeah, it's like
I mean, there is things to go and read specifically, but it's a reference book. So you find like, hey, if you know a specific plant, and you're looking for more information about that specific plant, you can find, you know, the Latin names for them and the genus and the family and all that stuff, and go through and learn more about a specific plant. And some of them, let's see. Like some of them have pictures, and it's like, yeah, I like pictures.
Where'd you get this?
You know, I was trying to remember that.
It's funny because like you bring that up, and I was like on a design job earlier, and it's funny because like we use antique books mm-hmm. just left and right for decorations, and so like I literally would like see this at the antique store and just like grab it and not think twice about it, like what it's called, what it's about.
Yeah.
And it would never be cracked open. It would just sit on the shelf for decoration for months.
See, I mean, years. It is like a cool, like old book. Yeah, it has old book feel, has an old book smell, the old book kind of cover. It's Gray's New Manual of Botany Illustrated. It's what it's officially called. And yeah,
I mean, technically that is an older book.
Yeah.
It's not musty.
Yeah, not musty yet.
And it's got some dude named Melvin D. Jones. His name is printed on the side. Yeah. And I don't know. I like the name Melvin. The only person I've ever met personally named Melvin was hilarious. He was a storyteller. I love the name Melvin.
Okay.
I'm gonna we kind of brought the same type of book, Dale.
Almost.
Kind of.
Yeah. It's a new manual.
Very new. Only 100 and...
Well, this has 16? Their address in here.
I wonder if it's still accurate.
Did you see this?
No.
There's right when you crack it open. Yeah, from 1943.
Oh.
It's from Oklahoma.
Huh.
So, okay. So I have a couple theories as to where I got it. I just don't remember. Either A, my dad gave it to me.
Stillwater.
Oklahoma. Yeah, I've been to Stillwater a lot.
Have you heard of Stillwater the band?
No.
Movie Almost Famous?
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Yes. In fact, I think All American Rejects is a Stillwater band.
Are they?
Based band. Or originated. I believe they're from Stillwater. They're from Oklahoma.
Anyway, Gabe, sorry.
Yeah. What's your show and yell?
Whale basket!
Is it actually a whale?
It is a whale.
How do we know?
Well, I guess maybe it might not be.
I thought there's you were going to say, well, you know.
There's nothing in it right now. It used to have my blanket. Now there's a burger in it. There used to be blankets, but then I got too many blankets, and so now I have a giant basket for that. But part of the reason that I got this day is, A, I typically try and do bigger items when we're at my place just because I don't want to lug these things around. But B, I was trying to think, okay, Quentin is a collector. I'm a collector. And what's a good thing that I could do collector? So, I was going to do like a doll maybe or something, but... What I actually did is this whale, teaches lessons. As a collector, you're always on the hunt for something. Always on the hunt for your next grail item or whatever item, whether you're a collector of all different kinds of things or a collector of more specific things. And I saw this at Target many, many years ago for $35. I was like, that is a really cute basket. I really want it, but I am not paying $35 for that. And then, a little while later, I was at Bargain Hunt, which they have a lot of liquidation. It was dirt cheap. Now, if you're going in dirt cheap, I will caution you. It is dirty,
but
it is cheap.
After.
It is cheap. So, just be aware, but there are some hidden treasures in there. Like our little friend here. And I guess it's just a lesson to collectors or really anyone. If you've been looking for something for a while, just wait for it because it will eventually come up. Because I've done that where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it online. I'm just going to pay the little bit of money that is online and then I'll find it for like $6. Like I find this a lot with like DVDs is where I'm like, I really just want this DVD. I'm just going to buy it online. And then I had been looking at McKay's and Goodwill and all these things for years. And then the next time I go, I will literally find the same DVD at a fraction of the cost. And it just irritates me. So as a collector, this is a lesson to you all.
So you're telling me I've come over to your house, I don't know how many times, and pulled blankets out of that?
Mm-hmm. And you've never noticed it?
That nasty thing?
From Dirt Cheap? I got it from Dirt Cheap in...
You probably didn't even clean it, did you?
2019. How are you going to clean wicker?
I don't know.
The store's called Dirt Cheap?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this store.
I think there's one in Smyrna. There's one here in Murfreesboro. And then there might be one in Nashville. I'm not sure. But, like, seriously, beware. Like, it is gross in
the
there.
The first time I walked in, I felt like I immediately... And
he's gross. He's, like, a gross person, so...
I hadn't even got past the cash registers, and I was like, I feel like I physically need to shower now.
It's rough. We'll talk about it a little bit more after. You can
find some interesting things there.
Yes.
Just don't go in nice clothes.
Okay.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Burn the clothes after.
Maybe you'll find one on tour. Okay, yeah. So our game is called Spottle, and basically you'll just guess an artist, and then we'll tell you if... you're close or not based on like the different categories.
You have 10 guesses. You're trying to figure out the artist. There's going to be different categories that are going to give you clues and information on how to narrow your guesses down until you get the right one.
And don't get too obscure because it's mostly popular artists.
Okay. I think I understand.
Who's your first guess? Give us an artist.
But I didn't have a clue.
The first one is
the first
wide
one
open.
You literally just have to
first one's guess. Wide open. And then it's going to reference like, is it a band? Is it a solo act? Are they male? Are they female? How popular are they? Where are they from? You're going to get categories like that.
Yeah.
So the phone is guessing.
You're guessing.
It's going to give you clues.
Just name an artist.
Okay, fine. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Nice.
Good first guess. Okay. It is a U.S. pop solo artist who is male, and their debut is before 2008.
Is it Brandon Urie? Is it Brendan Urie? Is that how it's pronounced? Brendan?
It's Brendan, I believe. But it looks like maybe they don't have him counted. Because, they don't have him counted. Because I guess they're categorizing him under Panic.
Okay. Is it Bruno Mars?
Is he before 2008? He was 2010.
Mm.
So, it's before 2008. It looks like... A good time before 2008. So I would maybe guess somewhere like a 90s or 80s or maybe even 70s male pop solo artist from the U.S.
Solo artist?
Yeah.
Is Boy George a solo artist?
He's not on the list, so. Any like 80s stars?
Could be on the list.
How about Billy Idol?
Billy Idol?
Yeah.
I guess he could be solo, couldn't he?
He is solo, but he's from the UK.
And by solo,
he's rock.
I think they mean, like, it's the name of a person.
Yeah, yeah.
They might have a static band, but, like...
Why do I feel like there's a time limit on this?
No.
Because there is, because no one wants to sit through me just thinking.
What about the time frame? What does that tell us? No, the time frame of the...
Can I get another clue, or am I just stuck here?
No.
Older than 1982.
Oh, yeah. So it's before the 80s. Sorry, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So 70s or 60s or 50s.
Oh, older.
Older it than could 82.
Be, yeah, older than 80s.
Elvis Presley.
That's a good guess. Okay. That's what I was going to guess. Okay. Higher than the 50s. So 60s or 70s solo artists.
Rod Stewart.
Fairly comparable as well. Yeah, their popularity thing is weird.
Okay, it's somewhere in the 70s. Looks like early 70s. And Rod Stewart is from the UK. So.
Oh, duh.
And is technically considered rock. So but 70s. So is Elvis.
70s so. Pop.
Yeah.
Barry Manilow.
That's a good guess.
Okay. All right.
Is he on here? He should be.
Oh.
Man. Sorry,
Spottle.
Barry.
Spottle, what you doing?
What about Donny Osmond? Or is he more 60s?
Well, he's not on here, so.
Who is on here?
Not popular enough.
70s pop artist.
Mm-hmm.
David Cassidy.
Also not on here.
Wow.
Is Elton John pop? How many guesses do I get?
Yeah, I would guess 10? Elton John. Well, if it's not on there, it won't even let me guess. So you're good.
Oh, cool.
He's technically 1969. Oh, and he's British, duh.
Oh, jeez.
Not quite as popular as Elton John, though.
Yeah.
John Denver.
Oh, or would he be country?
Folk. Yeah.
Be folk.
Okay. Pop. 70s pop.
70s pop.
It was someone who I was just thinking of, but I forgot.
Is this a group game, or am I just under the...
We can get... I mean...
After the first couple of... Yeah. We're getting it.
Everyone's trying to figure... Do you know the answer?
I don't. No. I don't.
Sometimes we cheat and look stuff up.
Okay.
That was not me. That was downstairs.
Yeah, start looking up some artists, because...
Okay. About David Bowie.
Oh, that's who I was thinking, because when you said David...
He's gotta be rock, though.
Yeah, he's technically rock.
Oh, and he's UK.
And 67 and UK. Got three more guesses.
Three more? Give me my phone.
What would they consider Bob Dylan?
He's folk.
I don't know.
I'll guess Bob Dylan anyway, just because. Oh, he's 62.
And okay, yeah, he is pop folk. Stars. This is not whittling down pop stars. There's so much rock here. But 70s is disco. Like, pop at the time was disco.
That's
so
true.
Maybe I need to look up disco.
Yeah.
That means solo disco?
Stevie Wonder?
Oh, that's
he's good. Funk, though.
Yeah, they consider him R&B. And he's 62.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson's. Duh.
Because his first album came out.
Yep.
That early?
It's my.
I thought he
was Michael
later.
Jackson. Good job. You won.
Off the wall. Yeah, I mean, I looked up, though.
I thought he was later than the early 70s.
Okay, but that was your last guess and you got it. No, it's 1972.
Okay. I stand corrected.
That was his. That was when Off the Wall came on?
Oh, I don't know
his
about
solo?
That.
Solo?
I guess. I don't know.
No way.
Okay. Well.
What does this say?
This is typically where we start plugging things. And okay. I'm sorry, we didn't talk about Idol at all because the last time that you were here, that wasn't quite a thing yet. I know you had kind of teased it a little bit, but
yeah.
Can you give like a kind of brief synopsis of what this kind of side project you've been doing or your passion project, if you want to call it?
Well, I did have the inner workings of hoping to have a successfully unsigned episode about the band at some point with the other two gents here.
Okay.
Because I thought that would be really cool.
You can do a little teaser then.
But the teaser, Idol is a dark deco band telling a superhero noir story. So it's an origin concept album taking us from what we understand as our Bruce Wayne character and watching him morph into the Batman type character, which is called the Silver Shadow. In the same timeline, we see the antagonist character morph into a supervillain character who is Conscience. So it's a 7-song album.
Oh, okay, so you're almost done.
We the last song comes out October 18th. It is the wrap up of everything.
That's exciting.
It is very exciting. The song means a lot to me.
Do you have everything like filmed and
everything? Okay. We actually filmed that video a year ago.
Oh, okay.
So it's been just sitting around.
Okay.
Ready to go. I sing on it. So that's
exciting. You have a good voice. Actually.
Thank you.
Like I was very shocked the first time, the first song where you sang and I was like, oh, this man can sing.
I can clean up real nice. Thank you. Yeah, the first song was a Christmas tune, for those who didn't know. A little easier to lean into the kind of crooner.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth sounding kind of voice. Because it's more of a pose. This is truly more me singing.
Okay.
So there's not such a hard exterior.
Okay.
And I hope you can all check it out. So it'll be midnight, October 18th. Song is out. The song will be out. The video will be out. It's called Afterglow. And my father is speaking on it.
Very cool.
It's a really cool tune.
We need invites to your, special themed release party.
We would like to do a release party. Hey, we would like to do a release party. It would probably be in Wisconsin, though, because that's where the bulk of the band is based.
Yeah. Mm,
gotcha.
And where most of my nucleus still is. I mean,
so you filmed all this in Wisconsin then?
This video was the forthcoming video was filmed in actually like Gallatin area.
Oh, okay.
I found it looked like a grass stage. It was crazy. Funny enough, I was late to go to work for Halicene, took a backwards way. And on my way, I saw this plateau, and from the highway, it looked like a stage. And I thought, that's where the video has to be, because I knew what I wanted the backdrop of the song to be, which was a little more vast, epic, beautiful wilderness. I just didn't know where. And I thought, if it comes down to it, we can always pull off on the side of a highway, get out and do it there. But this was really special looking. So I made a mental note, went with the videographer. We found the spot. It was all gated in. And I said, I don't think there's security here. I don't think anyone's really watching. I couldn't figure out who owned the property. In the same visit, some other car pulled off. And I thought, great, now I'm going to be in trouble with the owner of this property. No, it's another random person who wanted to know if we knew the owner because her husband wants to hunt on the land. And I'm like, I'm not. And she's like, if you find out who it is, here's my number. You call me.
Like, nice.
Oh, nice.
I'm not calling you. Like, get out of here with your hunting.
She's going to watch this now and be sad.
Maybe just stop hunting. I don't know. That's a whole other kind of can of worms, but came time to shoot, rented a U-Haul, packed it all in the trailer, and we hopped the fence and had to go up on the hill and do it. And there were cars like honking at us when we were filming. We also had a fog machine with us, and it didn't really kind of click until halfway through. Someone might think it's a fire.
Oh, so yeah.
Let's not use the fog.
Yeah.
Smart.
But the fog still looked really cool in the video.
Yeah. Nice.
But
nice.
Well, we did it at dusk. So anyway, it's coming out. I hope you check it out. And
check out all of it.
I mean, check out all of it. Yeah. It's still there. But this will complete the story, which then will hopefully give those who have not been paying attention a chance to go back and see everything from the start and watch it all in succession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're doing daily comics.
Yeah.
Every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah, those are really
that
cool.
Tell the finer points of the story.
With Polaroids.
With Polaroids and instant film that tie up some loose ends that the videos can't show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that went into it, and I really encourage everyone to
check
it out.
Where can they find it?
The handle is for the most part at the band Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook has
IDOL.
IDOL, yeah. And Facebook is at Idol the band.
Sweet.
And your personal?
And personal is you look up my name, Quentin Kuval, you'll find me.
Quintinkuval.
You'll see it in the description, I'd imagine. It will be spelled correctly, and that's where you can find me and what I'm up to personally, with touring, with Halicene, and other fun projects.
And go watch his first episode if you haven't seen it, or even if you have seen it like a year ago. It's a really good one. It's one of our favorites. And his drum solo. And just as always, follow us. su-podcast.com at successfully_unsigned at unsigned podcasts on TikTok.
Anything else?
Thank you guys. Thank you so much, Quentin.
Thank you.
We love you,
thank
bud.
You.
Should we shake hands and like with like outro music?
Like a TV show.
Like
keep this in. Like